We all think about what we eat. We plan our meals or count carbs or do any number of other things when it comes to what we put into our bodies. But do you ever think about the flavor of what you consume? Sure you do. What we eat or drink either tastes good or it doesn't. In fact, taste is the number one consideration in what we consume. Yet there is more to it than just like or dislike, and there's even a whole industry dedicated to it. Flavor is memory, flavor is feeling, flavor is science, flavor is art. Flavor is McCormick Flavor Solutions. I'm Randy Donovan, and welcome to our Flavor University podcast, where we explore the science, artistry, and industry behind flavor. Welcome back to Flavor University. I am your host, Randy Donovan, and today we're talking real life wellness because healthy looks different for everyone. Today, our guests are sharing their personal journeys and the routines that work for them and how flavor helps make better for you choices, taste better and enjoyable. Because when you love what you're consuming and doing, you're far more likely to stick with it. And that is where long-term well-being really lives. So today I have two amazing guests with us who I work with and am so happy to have here. So I will have our first guest introduce herself.
Hi, Randy. Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be involved with this and thank you for the invitation. Hi, everybody out there. My name is Courtney Wachtel. I'm a senior regulatory affairs manager here at McCormick Flavor Solutions. And I've been part of McCormick for about 8.5 years now. I'm coming up on my 9th year anniversary and I'm working in the regulatory department. So I work with the team that works with our customers and providing documents, hopefully in a very timely fashion, and as well as answering questions about our flavors that are purchased by our business-to-business customers.
And Courtney, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of your personal life, things you love and do, and kind of why I have you here today?
Sure. Yeah. So my background is in nutrition. I'm actually a registered dietitian. Although I don't really work in the nutrition world anymore, per se, I do follow a lot of healthy habits at home. Because of my background, I really love to cook and bake and try to make everything I make healthy in some way or another. Although I do have a pretty intense sweet tooth, so I have to counteract, you know, having some chocolate here and there or some baked goods here and there with healthy food that's, you know, high in fiber and just a good balanced diet of real foods. I think that's kind of how I approach things. I'm a mom. I have two boys who are now in their late teens, early 20s, and I would like to think that I've helped them develop some healthy habits over the years, and they're both really into fitness. They're into healthy eating. They cook, which is great. I do like to go to the gym. I work out regularly before work a few days a week. And I find that if I do it first thing in the morning, then it doesn't get swept up in the whirlwind of the day. If I wait till after work or at night to work out, I generally just know that I'm not going to get it done or it's not going to be as good of a workout for me. So that's just what works for me. And that's where I've kind of settled over the last few years.
That's awesome. I love just one of the things you said at the very beginning was balance. And I think that's so important to real life and, you know, consistency and fitting that in. So our next guest, if you can introduce yourself.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Randy. I'm Angelo David. I'm an associate product manager on the beverage and health team here at McCormick Flavor Solutions. And in my role, I focus a lot on discovering emerging trends and insights within the sports and nutrition, as well as the healthcare space.
And then, Angela, can you tell us a little bit kind of your background and how your approach is into health and wellness?
So I started playing sports like travel basketball at a really young age. I think it started at 6. And I played up until I was like 16 years old, where I moved away from basketball and got really big into bodybuilding and seeing and watching YouTube videos and bodybuilding competitions such as the Arnold and the Mr. Olympia. And nowadays, I work out 5 to 6 days a week, focusing mainly on like hypertrophy and aesthetics. with weightlifting. And I'd say I have a fairly clean and healthy diet.
Great. Well, that is awesome. So in all transparency, I work with Angelo, so I know very much about him and we're together a lot. So if we kind of joke around, or you might pick up on that as we're recording, and I see Courtney a lot when we are in the office together. So I do know both of our guests really well today. And I will tell you, they both have such a great, healthy approach to this world of health and wellness habits, and a really great outlook. When you are with them, they both are knowledgeable, but they just have a great balanced approach to this area. So I'm so happy to have them here, because as we brought this topic to our podcast today, you know, it's January and so much of the world is focused on New Year's resolutions, and you have to do this and you have to do that, you know, change everything, drop this. And that's not what we wanted to talk about today. We wanted to talk about, how do you make this consistent? And how do you make this a lifestyle? And how do you make this enjoyable? We especially are coming from a world of flavor and food and beverage and ultimately enjoyment. And that's what we want to focus on. So Courtney, I'll start with you, because you mentioned balance and sweet tooth, and especially your kids and giving them good habits. What does healthy mean to you?
Yeah, basically, I approach my diet from a balanced perspective, like we said, and I just want to have a good, colorful diet. So when I look at each meal, I try to incorporate lots of different colors. And I think that's one way to think about getting a variety of foods into your diet. As well as this year, I'm trying to focus more on just adding more vegetables. I eat plenty of fruit because I love fruit. And I, of course, my sweet tooth, I love the natural sweetness to fruits. Generally, I'll start my day with a big, nice serving of mixed berries, which I really love, and some protein, either yogurt or cottage cheese, or sometimes a bowl of cereal with some fruit in that with some skim milk. And then lunch is usually some sort of a soup or a stew during the winter, where I throw in tons of vegetables. And it's one way that I can get rid of maybe some aging vegetables in my fridge, is just throw them into a soup. And then I'll eat off of that during the week for lunch. And I'll pair that with some sort of a protein source, because that'll help it stick with me a little bit longer. And then I sort of do usually a pretty simple dinner, like a protein source of chicken, fish. I try to not eat too much red meat, maybe just once a week at the most, and stick to those lean meats without a lot of extra sauces. I really do like herbs and spices. And I know at McCormick, we have a lot of really great seasoning mixes that I'll use liberally, you know, to my food, just to make it taste good. I feel like simple meals can be very healthy and very flavorful and enjoyable. It doesn't have to be some big complicated thing that you do every night that takes a really long time. Now that my kids are out of the house, they're in college, but being a working mom for all these years, I would come home from work and just feel the stress of trying to get a healthy meal on the table quickly. And so I kind of ended up at this place where I may be throwing together some salmon, some sweet potatoes, and a green vegetable of some sort, broccoli. And that's a very good complete meal. And then maybe a little bit of something sweet after that, like a little piece of chocolate or something. But yeah, it seems to work well for me. And also, one other habit that has really helped me is planning my meals ahead of time. So generally speaking, when the kids were not in college, I would hear the ask, you know, Mom, what's for dinner tomorrow after dinner the previous night? And so I'm always having to answer that question. So I would just put like a list of what our meals were for the week on our little bulletin board. And then over the weekend, I would just make sure to go shopping and get our list of stuff. So then even if I changed up the order of the meals during the week, it just helped to have a plan and have all the ingredients on hand that I could kind of throw together as needed. You know, if I don't have time to roast some vegetables
a certain night, maybe I just do a frozen vegetable instead or something like that. So that planning ahead, it doesn't take very long, but it does really help to stick to those more healthy habits during the week. Of course, I'm not perfect. I do have my misgivings, and I find that if I'm hungry, I'll make worse choices between meals. So having healthy snacks around, maybe some nuts, some like an apple with peanut butter or soy butter or something like that, just something that will really help me stay full until I get to that next meal is really helpful. I do tend to stick to whole foods rather than things out of a box. But of course, again, being a working mom, sometimes you just really need that convenience. And so trying to make those choices deliberately and intentionally and trying to think about the diet as a whole thing, you know, over the course of the week, what did you do well? That tends to help me sort of frame it that, okay, 80% of the time I probably did really well, but here are some things maybe I can work on in the new year to make it even better.
I love that, you know, when you're talking about colors and the good choices and little ways to make it better. And planning. Planning is so huge. And Angela, as Courtney was talking, that made me think about you when you always said 5 or 6 workouts a week and then working and bodybuilding is so disciplined. What does that look like for you? Are you super regimented? How do you do that?
So a habit that I've been incorporating within like the past few months is creating a convenience when it comes to like working out. So my main form of cardio is cycling. And in order to make it more convenient for my lifestyle, I added a stationary bike to my living room. So right when I wake up in the morning, I can see the stationary bike and I don't have to worry about going to the gym to hit cardio. So reducing that friction between waking up and working out is definitely something I've been incorporating in my life. And sometimes I sleep the previous night knowing that I want to go to the gym. So I'll set my alarm and then I'll go straight to the gym right in the morning as I wake up.
Like we said, that planning and something I've read about and heard on some podcasts is habit stacking. And so, you know, I'm going to get up and going to be in these clothes and, you know, I'm going to ride the bike. And it's, you know, one thing leads to the next to the next. So that's really, really interesting. So when you were talking about the soups and the stews and the, you know, the grilled meats or fishes, you talked about spices and seasonings and flavors. What are some of the flavors that both of you look for? And Angela, especially in what you do here at McCormick Flavor Solutions, kind of, do you have any flavors that you're seeing pop up as big choices?
I'm seeing a lot of nostalgic flavors, flavors that people already know and love already, coming into a lot of the sports nutrition products. Like brands are doing collabs with candy companies that they had when they were children, and seeing those collabs and being able to get a taste of those flavors again through the products, the functional sports products that you're using, is definitely comforting and familiar. So that's what I'm seeing.
Great. And Courtney, that made me think of you and the sweet tooth. I wonder if that's sort of a tie into a, you know, quote unquote, healthier way to tap into that sweetness.
Yes, it's kind of like, how can I, if I need a little sweet fix or something, how can I try to make what I choose to have another benefit as well? So I really enjoy chocolate milk. Mm-hmm. Or these chocolate protein drinks. And I find that that satisfies that craving that I have, but I'm also getting, you know, some protein, some carbohydrate to refuel myself after I have had a workout or something like that. Like you said, habit stacking, trying to do both. And my kids have really enjoyed certain ready-to-drink protein beverages that, and since they're really into working out as well, it seems like a good choice to be able to replenish yourself, but in a more intentional way.
Definitely. And you were mentioning, you know, just different call outs to nutrients and carbohydrates, all these labels that we see, and especially in regulatory. And like I said, Angelo works in a lot of the nutritional space. What role do labels play for you and kind of the call outs that we're seeing? You know, protein has been such a huge thing. I've seen trends saying that fiber is going to be huge this year. Are you big label followers? Do you think that that is, you know, important to consumers? What kind of role do you think that plays in wellness?
Yeah, I see fiber kind of getting more play here in the future. As you may know, the new dietary guidelines for Americans were released last week. So that's been interesting to read what the current thoughts are around nutrition. And fiber does play a big role in health and wellness, and it should be front and center. And so I really do hope that some products, you know, make those fiber claims, try to increase the fiber of their products. And of course, whole foods, whole fruits and vegetables are always good choices for fiber content.
Oh, that's great. And can you both share maybe two or three habits that you work into your day that make you feel your best?
Definitely the meal planning ahead of time, and then the working out first thing in the morning. I am not an evening person. I'm more of a morning person. So I think that's helpful to just get it out of the way, because it's not my most enjoyable activity that I do. But if I do it first thing, then I get it done and I do it. And then also prioritizing sleep. We haven't really talked about sleep that much, but sleep is so important. And so just making sure I stick to my bedtime, my early bedtime, it really does help me feel my best.
How about you, Angelo?
Yeah, one of the best habits I've incorporated has been starting my mornings with movement, getting in some cardio or exercise right away, and then rehydrating with plenty of water and sometimes in a hydration packet to replace the electrolytes lost overnight or during my workout. It wasn't easy at first to roll out of bed and jump straight into exercise, but over time, my body has adjusted and I feel incredible after every workout. I've noticed a big boost in my focus at work, as well as my overall mood and motivation throughout the day. And of course, there are mornings when I decide to sleep in a little longer. And on those days, I'll take a refreshing 5 to 10 minute cold shower. It feels so good. Something simple like that can wake you up and set a positive tone for the rest of the day.
I also just want to tell everybody, Angelo carries around and drinks. I just carry around a water bottle. Angelo also drinks from his water bottle. This like jug that basically fills the top of like a standing, you know, like water dispenser. I don't know. It's like 20 gallons or something. And he drinks.
Yeah, no. When I was younger, I used to get those plastic water bottles, those gallon water bottles. But this is like it's a more bougie version of that.
I will say my son does carry around like a plastic water gallon jug around the house.
Got to get your water in.
But that's awesome. I'm just always so intrigued by what other people do. And both of you, I think it's so interesting, weren't telling me any crazy thing you were doing. You were doing these really reasonable, healthy, doable habits. And there are things you go out of your way to do and incorporate, but you weren't telling me I spend thousands of dollars to do this, or I needed this super special equipment, or I have to go an hour away to get this service. You were telling me things that you do that make you happy, that make you feel better. And I am so inspired by your consistency and that you do that. And that's just really awesome.
I think what's helped me be really consistent with the exercise, which is not my default setting like it is for Angelo. Like I said, it's not my favorite thing to do, but I kind of make myself do it first thing in the morning so I get it out of the way. But I've chosen to go to a place that provides that accountability for me. So it's a place where you have to sign up the week before for the time slot that you want. And the gym is kind of small group training. So then they provide some accountability to if I miss a session, they might ask, you know, what was going on that day or whatever. So I feel like that external accountability has really helped me stick with it. At first, I was a little bit unsure if it was for me, but now that I've been doing it for a few years, I really feel like I've grown to really appreciate it. And I really enjoy the people that I work out with too. We're friends. And so we have a good time, even if it's 6 in the morning, you know, we're having a good time laughing and sort of making fun of each other and also challenging each other, like, oh, you can go higher in that weight or whatever it may be. So
just having that community, I think, is important too. It helps you stick with it, even though maybe it's not your favorite thing as your default.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just said a few years. You didn't say a few weeks. And, you know, to know yourself and to know that works for you. And, you know, Angelo, I see in you this incredible kind of self-motivation, and different people have such different needs. And that's awesome to know that about yourself. What does it take, you think, to form sustainable habits? You know, you both kind of found these things that work for you. How do you think you got there?
In my experience, building habits that truly starts with creating an environment that naturally supports your routine and making the habit convenient for you. For example, my favorite way to get cardio in is cycling. So I've placed a stationary bike right in my living room. That way, the moment I wake up, step out of my bedroom, I see the bike waiting for me. And it's a visual reminder and a motivator that says, let's get moving. And by designing your space to inspire action, you make it easier to stay consistent and enjoy the process.
Yeah, I will totally agree with Angelo in that he said earlier, you know, reducing the friction. So when I go to the gym, I have my appointment at 6 a.m. and I have about a 40-minute drive to my gym. So I have to be sure that I get ready the night before. So I get all my clothes ready. I have everything ready to go. And then I can shower at work and then be ready for my work day as well. But making sure I take that 10 minutes it takes to just pack my bag the night before. And then that helps me ensure that I'm more likely to be successful in getting that workout in before work, as well as packing my food for the day. So packing my breakfast, packing my lunch, packing my snacks. Then I'm less likely to be super hungry and root around the office for any random food that's laying around. Because as you know, we have a lot of food in the office. There's little, you know, buckets of chocolate everywhere that I may dig into if I'm hungry. So if I bring my fruits and my vegetables and my soup and my salad and stuff like that, then I'm less likely to go through people's drawers to find any little snacks.
I'm hearing planning, planning, planning. And it's amazing. Gosh, we complicate this, don't we? We all look for a magic pill or button or thing. And it's just so simple. It's just planning.
Yeah, it does take a bit of effort. But I think in my life too, you know, getting a little bit older these days, and now I've kind of switched to thinking about longevity and aging and trying to age well. And I see my parents, you know, they're in their 80s now. And so seeing some of the arthritis and things that they're afflicted with. So how can I keep myself healthy as long as I can? That's now where my brain has gone. Yeah. Instead of when I was younger, maybe it was trying to look a certain way or keep up with my little kids. But now it's more like, oh, I need to be sure that I'm around and I'm healthy for as long as possible.
Right. That's so true. I think that's a great segue, and I'll direct this to you, Angelo, because it's kind of a marketing question. And I have seen a marketing cue to health or wellness or longevity. And I guess in the marketing space, Angelo, what are you seeing? Whether it's habits or just kind of what's the turn you're seeing, or trends or different groups in this space?
Yeah, no, I feel like brands are tailoring and marketing their products to support the daily routines of the consumers. I'm seeing brands tie their products to familiar moments throughout the day, such as like a morning coffee, an afternoon snack, or evening relaxation. A tea brand, for instance, might position itself as an ideal way to unwind, and a sports nutrition brand might position its hydration as the best way to refuel after a grueling workout. So transforming simple acts into comforting habits that are tailored to the consumer's lifestyle. And brands are also rewarding consumers that are consistently purchasing from them. Loyalty programs and customer recognition are turning repeat use of a product into a rewarding experience for consumers. And it's building a sense of connection with the brand and feeling like the consumer is part of an overall community.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think being part of a community is such a huge thing. You know, we see that so on social media is so huge. You know, whether it's a running community or a certain gym or even, you know, a certain hydration packet right now. I bought some flavoring stick or whatever, and I'm just getting so much popping up on my Instagram from them. But, you know, I'm sort of like, oh, I'm in with this crowd now. So how do you see brands kind of using consumers' habits to build odd long-term connections? So, for example, I am a Diet Coke in the afternoon girl. So maybe 2 o'clock, I am going to the fridge for that icy cold Diet Coke. Not every day, but I do love it and look forward to it.
Yeah, I know. I myself like a Diet Coke at lunchtime. But since I wake up early to go to the gym, I always like to have, you know, a cup of morning coffee or a morning beverage just with a little caffeine to get me going. And I have a lot of friends who would really resonate with a brand that offered morning drinks or things that would energize them and get them going for that morning workout before they started their day.
Okay, so like a morning energy drink, they do things like that, definitely. So building on that workout. What do you see, Angelo?
I have an energy drink before working out as well. This morning, for example, I had the new bubbler fruit punch flavor. So I like doing that without too much caffeine because I don't want to be too jittery in the morning. But I like that pre-workout. And then after the workout, I consume hydration packets like a liquid IV. Just to replenish those electrolytes that I lost during the workout.
Definitely. And that definitely also makes the, just that, you know, water throughout the day more fun. And there's so many combos and, you know, I see water talk is such a huge thing where people are mixing their hydration packs and syrups. And that's such a fun way consumers are interacting with brands as well. So, again, that's that kind of community influence where social media and shared habits, and now we're all a part of that shared moment together, becomes really fun. And again, flavor makes it all the more fun for all of us.
We enjoy it. It doesn't seem like a chore.
For sure.
Yeah. In the bodybuilding world, like, people would eat plain chicken to meet their protein goals, whereas now you can have a strawberry or a chocolate flavored protein shake where you can get the same macronutrients as it. And it's more enjoyable and more comforting. So
right. Plain chicken makes me want to cry.
So. Just eat your herbs and spices, Randy.
There you go. Right. Courtney, how do you see health and wellness and habits, you know, moving from fad to habit, I guess?
That's a tough one because I think nutrition and research in that area kind of shows that it's kind of the basic stuff that makes up a healthy diet, a healthy way of eating, the balance, lots of colors, lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean meats. I think those are just the basic things, which I don't think that's ever been a fad. I wish it could be a fad. And maybe we'll start working on that a little bit more as a society. I think the mainstream types of things that stick are also what works for you as an individual, that works with your family life, that's enjoyable. Because if you are eating something that you really don't like because it may have benefits to you, that is not going to be sustainable and you're not going to enjoy it. And if you think about our lives, a lot of my life has been, you know, looking forward to meals with family and friends and sharing that time together. And like we said, the community is so important. And how do you make that food really speak and resonate with the group and make it memorable for you? I think that's what's important. And then, you know, kind of as an aside, trying to make it healthy and balanced at the same time. I think that's important. And don't overthink it. Just make it easy. Like I said earlier, making those meals as easy as possible, but still healthy, has really worked for me. And find what works for you, you know, that can meet your goals and be sustainable for you and your life.
Angela, you mentioned kind of briefly within bodybuilding, the Arnold, and I know that you'd been to some different shows, you know, as a bodybuilder and also just within marketing research, and you see so many products, so many things, you know, that come across as we're working on things and as, you know, we do research and trend spotting and things like that. How do you think transparency and trust in products, how is that built for yourself and consumers, and kind of what do you look for?
Yeah, no, I believe transparency is absolutely essential because it builds genuine credibility and lasting loyalty among consumers. And when people can clearly see that a food or wellness brand truly aligns with their values and goals, it creates a powerful sense of trust and connection with that brand and the consumer. For instance, if someone is committed to eating only organic foods, they want to feel confident that the brand they support stands by that promise. But if they later discover that that brand's claims aren't true on the news or in an article, that trust can ultimately be broken and they'll likely turn to other companies that are honest and authentic about what they stand for. And transparency isn't just good practice, in my opinion. It's what keeps people inspired, engaged, and proud to support a brand.
Courtney, for you with regulatory, I know that's such a, you know, such a huge area of knowledge for you. So I was going to ask kind of your take on that as well.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that labeling piece where if we are making a claim that something is organic, like Angela mentioned, we have to be very buttoned up with our systems and our processes to make sure that we have everything in place to be able to confidently make those claims. And then also we are audited every year that we are adhering to the claims there. So I'd say aligning yourself with brands that you feel are transparently meeting those requirements. It's one thing to just put a bunch of symbols on your packaging, but to make sure that that company is actually adhering to the requirements is really important.
Definitely. So I guess as we kind of close here, where do you see kind of health and wellness evolving, whether that's within flavor or just kind of what do you think is coming for fitness or health or habits? Do you think you see coming up ahead?
I feel like there's always going to be fads, but kind of going back to basics, I think, is always in style. Trying to tailor your habits and the things that you do to meet your goals that meet your life and that meet your lifestyle and your requirements, I think is really important. And that's always going to be front and center in people's minds and what they do.
And Angela, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I believe people will keep discovering ways to make their lifestyles more efficient and meaningful by building habits that align with their health and wellness goals. And by choosing the brands that offer the flavors and ingredients they are looking to incorporate in their daily routine. I think it's such an exciting time because consumers are becoming more intentional, more informed, and more passionate about what they bring into their lives and what they're using on a daily basis. They're not just buying products. They're supporting the brands that reflect their values, inspire their journey, and help them feel their best every single day.
I'm encouraged, too, that younger people seem to be putting their health more front and center in their lives. So I'm really, really encouraged by that. And I think it's wonderful because, you know, we want to live long, healthy lives. And to start that in your 20s instead of in your 50s, I think is a really good step forward.
That is such an excellent point that you just made, Courtney, because I feel like you and I both have kids in you know, college age kids, and I have a daughter in high school, and the habits and knowledge that I see that they have versus that are when I was their age, it's amazing. Just so much more educated and savvy and better choices. So
I know, and when I think about hydration, even just hydration, like back then, I didn't even think about drinking water during the day. But now, like we talked about earlier, carrying a water bottle on with you so you can stay hydrated during the day. I think that's really important. That's just a little thing that society has kind of morphed to, but that's a really healthy switch. And so I think things like that will continue, you know, as our young people are getting older and, you know, kind of keeping these habits going as they progress through their lives.
For sure. In high school, my best friend and I used to work out twice a week before school. great choice, right?
Yeah.
Then we would go to the gas station and get a ginormous big gulp of diet soda and a candy bar.
So perfect.
So I love it.
We were like halfway there. I feel like this next generation is there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're a lot smarter than we were, Mandy.
So yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So you guys gave so much great information, and I truly appreciate you sharing your personal stories, because I think that has so much impact for our listeners and for me. You both inspired me. I'm really touched and moved by real stories and real actions. And you both are so relatable and inspiring. You both have such full lives and do amazing work here and fit these, I mean, truly just balanced, doable habits and behaviors into your day-to-day life. And that, to me, I think so many times we see health and wellness, especially Angelo, people hear bodybuilder and we think, oh my gosh, he has to be so extreme. And, you know, I want to tell our audience, Angelo is a gem. He is.
Thank you, Randy.
I mean it. You guys listening, he is so relatable and wonderful. And this is somebody who just makes this part of his life. And it's so inspirational. And you are so inspirational, Angelo. This is the Angelo podcast today, everybody.
Trying to be like you, Randy.
Oh, thank you. But
it's just really inspiring to see how we can all have these different areas of expertise and habits and health and wellness and share them with each other. Thank you both so much for being here. And of course, this is the Flavor University podcast. And of course, our other takeaway is listening to both of you talk is the enjoyment you take from the flavors of the food and the beverages that we consume. Courtney, when you talked about, you know, cooking for your kids, and Angelo, when you were talking about planning and prepping and, you know, wanting it all to be enjoyable and those nostalgic flavors that consumers are loving and touching back on those, you know, areas of whether it's sweets or just fun. It's so important to make this whole thing work. So I always end with kind of just an off-the-cuff question, and I think today I will ask, what is the craziest health thing you ever bought into? I don't mean like money-wise, but like what's the crazy thing you tried?
I tried doing those fasts where it's like a week, and this is like a month into my bodybuilding journey, and I could tell you I lasted at least 24 hours. And then after that, I was like, nah, I need something. I can't do this.
Oh my goodness.
How about you, Courtney?
I'm having flashbacks to the Suzanne Summers ab roller. I don't know why, but I don't know why I'm having flashbacks to that. Oh, and step aerobics.
Yeah.
That was back in the day, too.
Oh, I loved step aerobics.
Yeah. Or do you remember the video with Buns of Steel?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
I know. I think I had that on VHS. It didn't stick, of course.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And then have you seen, I wonder if kind of the next generation of that, have you seen these vibration plates that are always popping up on TikTok and whatever? Some people say they're amazing. And I wonder if that's going to be kind of the next iteration of it. In the 50s, the women would stand on that like shaky machine with the belts. And I wonder if that's, I'm like, is that the same thing?
I know. Yeah, I wish that worked.
That's so funny. My sister put that, because we do Secret Santa with my family, and she put that on her Secret Santa wish list.
That's hysterical.
And I think she got it. So
that's awesome.
All right. You need to report back to us for the next podcast.
Yeah.
We need to know.
We'll check in next January.
There you go. I love it. Well, thank you both so much. It's always a pleasure to talk with both of you, and I truly appreciate everything you shared today. So, all right, flavor fans, that is it for today's episode. Today, if we proved anything, it's that when you enjoy what you're doing, you are more likely to stick with it. Wellness makes everybody feel different, and when you enjoy what you're doing, it sticks. Thank you for joining us today. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting to explore the world of food science, there's always more to discover about the flavors that shape our experiences. Keep tasting, keep exploring, and keep thinking about the incredible world of flavor. Until next time, I'm Randy Donovan, and this is Flavor University, where every flavor tells a story.